27 minutes past 10, it's Mark Drury here on BBC Tees. We're talking about this idea of a digital detox, National Unplugging Day, this Sunday, the third one. If you remember life before mobile phones, you might want to go back to it. Well, let's speak to Simon Finch. Morning, Simon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Now, you're an online safety officer, aren't you?
Yes.
You give advice to parents and children across the Northeast, don't you, about online life, as it were?
The area that I work in is often described as e-safety, and so I provide support and guidance for any organisation that works with young people. So that's at schools, so that'll be parents, teachers, non-teaching staff, governors and young people. And those young people go right up to around 25. And then any organisation that works with young people beyond schools, so that would be council services, charities, further education, work-based learning providers, all of those areas. And so parents are included in that. And it's very interesting to hear the positive elements of blogging there, because undoubtedly there are very real positive benefits of social media. And I think if we take a moment to think about what social media is, social is about people and media is simply images, text and video and audio. How people use that is something that we're all learning, and we tend to talk about this as digital citizenship. And I think that while we spend a lot of time, I see a lot of people turning and blaming young people for not knowing how to behave online, very clearly what we need to do is to help adults to model appropriate digital citizenship. And that might be about showing how to use the devices and when not to use the devices. And so there is some benefit, I suppose, in having a day of detoxing, of unplugging and saying, look, actually, it's possible to move beyond simply being connected all of the time. But that said, I have no doubt at all that being connected with people, we are social beings, has many positives, and we can talk more about that if you like.
That's a key point for me there, where you say we're social beings, Simon, because isn't one of the unintended side effects of smartphones and social media that it's actually made us more antisocial with if I call them real people, you know what I mean, flesh and blood, they're in the same room with you.
That is the nub of why I'm so busy all of the time, which is that I see no evidence to say that social media makes people antisocial. What is an interesting thing to consider is whether social media holds up a microscope or a magnifying glass or a mirror to how people actually behave. And so the question about whether it makes people behave in a worse way, in a more antisocial way, or whether it simply allows us to see that actually people by default are antisocial is much more interesting. So that one of the parallels that I talk about is if we are brave behind our screens, our mobile devices, and are more rude and offensive than we would be face to face, then look at how people behave in their cars. Many people, not all people, but there are many people who are decent human beings that we know and we interact with and we enjoy their company. And yet when they are motorists, when they are driving, then they are gesticulating, they are abusive, they are sounding their horns, they will drive aggressively. Now, how can those people be the same people as the people that we engage with in a happy and social way when they're not in the cars? And one of the messages that we need to spend so much time on is to remember that when people are online, they are talking to real people. And we've wasted a lot of time talking about the virtual world or the digital world. Is we need to impress upon adults in the first place, parents who are parenting their children, and then children, that actually we need to be good citizens. And that is about empathy, and it is about care, and it's about consideration, and it's about tolerance. And if we don't do that, then we will see that many of the issues that we have rising within our country and beyond about radicalization and extremism, whether it is about religion or whether it is about politics, these things will continue unless people can start to understand that we need to respect and show tolerance to each other.
Do you think, Simon, that there should be any sort of, not age warning, but age restriction placed on when kids can have their first mobile phones? You know, like you have your 18s, your 15s, your 12s on DVDs. And the reason I ask is because at some point soon, I know my eldest daughter, her friends are going to start getting mobiles. And I don't want her to have one. I want her to wait as long as possible till she has one. Because it does bother me, the idea that once you've got, if you have problems at school and outside your house, when you go home, that's a sanctuary. But one of the problems with Twitter, with Facebook, with any, people can get at you in a way that they never used to be able to get at you if you've got a mobile.
That is very true, and this was previously described as cyberbullying, and we prefer to talk about it as online bullying. And I was a teacher for a very long time, and a child that was physically bullied, that you could see this was happening in front of you, the strategies would include waiting 10 minutes before everybody else had gone home and walking a different way home, and once you were behind your front door, then you were safe. So you're absolutely right that it is relentless, the bullying and abuse and the misery that can be caused if you choose to access the social media. So this comes back to when you talk about whether there should be specific ages. I'm always in a difficult position. I am a parent, and my children have turned out confident and creative and not without the difficulties and challenges that most of us have raising children. If I was to provide any kind of advice to parents, it is to engage with the young people and to raise their awareness and give them the skills to be able to manage. If you take it at a very simple level, not everyone is going to like you. One of the things that we do is a disservice to our children is that we say everybody will like you, you're lovely, so when you join a new school or a new club, don't worry, everything will be fine, everyone will like you. Well, perhaps we should spend a lot more time, if they're going to be online, actually reinforcing that the opinions of people that we don't know, that aren't our family and true friends, do not matter and do not register in the same way as is that motorist who I don't know, who waves an angry fist at me, whilst it is upsetting in the moment, should not define my mental well-being. I need to be able to be resilient enough to be able to move on with that. And so when we're talking about at what age should a child have a mobile phone, I don't think that's really the right question, because there will be children of different needs and experiences that maybe the parents and others need to be able to contact them. What functionality they have access to, what social media they have access to, gets to be a more pertinent question. So if you were to say, well, a child of 6 or 7 should have a phone so that they can receive phone calls, because they're at the beginning of their literacy, that you're not expecting them to write long texts or messages at that point, then that would be a reasonable thing. Should a child be on other social media? Well, that is really a very interesting question. I spend a lot of time with year 6 in primary school. So those are the oldest children in primary school, and they will be going to big school, to secondary school in September. So by default, we pretty much see almost every child in the class will have an Instagram or a Snapchat account at that age. And the question to ask is, well, why do they want to have those things? Why have we got children in primary schools who are sexting, who are sending provocative and inappropriate and illegal images of themselves to others? Well, they take that from that they are aspiring to adulthood. That's what they see the adults doing. So sexting originated and continues to be an adult activity that young people copy, in the same way as when I was young, I would have been looking to smoking or use of alcohol or to going dancing. You understand all of those things that we associate with maturing. If you look at the age of them, though, that if we say that for Instagram that to be 13 to have one of those accounts, remember that's terms and conditions, that's not a legal requirement, that's simply about storing personal data in terms of the company. So if you've got 10-year-olds who are saying that they are 13 online, then by the time they are physically 13, then they are 16 online. And if we do have offences taking place, if we do have predators who are then engaging in illegal relationships with our young people, then the offender, the person that we want to prosecute, can turn around and say, well, look, all the evidence I have is that that person is 16 because their timeline shows that that's what they are. So we have a lot to do in terms of educating and coming back to this digital citizenship of helping our young people to make informed choices about how to keep themselves and their friends safe. And so there is a massive amount of work to do. But until we can educate the parents and make them aware of their responsibility. So currently, if you consider yourself to be a good parent, then you read to your child at night. That would be a simple measure of that. We do need parents to engage with social media with their young people to say, this is what's happening on my timeline. Look what my friend has posted online. How do you think I should respond to that? I'm not going to reply to that because that is offensive. That's going to lead down to a place of an argument where nobody is going to win and people will be rude and abusive to each other. If you start to model that, then perhaps our next generation of digital citizens will be confident and will be safe and will be resilient. And it's that resilience that we need to build in there.
Okay, Simon. Thank you very much for joining us this morning on BBC Tees.